So yes, Trinity Sunday, when we reflect on what it means for us to say that we believe in a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're on dangerous ground, as I'm sure you are all aware, because you're all very seasoned Christians. And I don't know where you personally would be with this whole concept of the three into one, one into three thing. And for a preacher, there's many ways that we can go. We can either go fairly sort of light, if you like, and try and compare the Trinity to something that we see around us, like water. Water can be experienced in different ways, in sort of ice or liquid or steam. Or there's the visions of the clover leaf and all those sorts of things. And while they kind of offer some kind of an explanation, they're fairly inadequate, really, and kind of almost try and simplify. Or we can go very academic and sort of pour into sort of the ridiculous amount of ink that has been spilt on trying to understand this whole concept of a God who is in three. And really, let's be honest, neither of those are going to help us very much, because it's a concept that I guess that we all struggle with. Our readings this morning don't help us out very much either, in many ways. Apart from the gospel, the Matthew gospel for this Sunday actually does, Jesus talks about that great commissioning, that baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is the only time that we hear Jesus remarking on the Godhead as being those three people. In Scripture, you tend to find that concept being made much later on in Paul's writings and in other ways. But the Isaiah reading and the Corinthians reading don't necessarily really speak much into a Trinitarian understanding, or certainly don't help the preacher too much. So where does that leave us? It leaves us in this kind of, if you like, a sort of almost a vacuum state of what is this thing that we believe? And how do we hang our hat? How do we explain it? And in some ways, I guess, there is that realization that we can't, and that maybe we shouldn't. And that there's a number of things about this world and about our lives and about our Christian living within it that we just actually can't explain. And maybe that is just the way that it should be. Because much of the Christian life actually is not about the understanding, it's about the searching, it's about the finding, it's about asking those questions. It's one of the, of all the world faiths actually, it's one of the interesting things that Christianity is one that really is based on asking questions. Our gospel started with, again, that Matthew reminding us that the disciples had doubts of everything that they had seen and heard in the first person from Jesus. We constantly remember that the disciples experienced everything as it happened, and yet they had doubts. And so our faith is kind of built on doubts, where a lot of the other world faiths, really you're expected just to accept what is written in Scripture, or accept what you're told by an imam or whoever is directing worship or preaching. Whereas the wonderful thing, if you like, about Christianity is that we test it. We ask questions. We have doubts. We are in a conversation in our faith. We are in a relationship, because a relationship is based on conversation. I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you before, so forgive me if I have. But one of my personal sort of devotional things that I like to do is pray through and with icons. I have a sort of small collection in my office at home. I'm not an artist at all, but I enjoy engaging with God through through art of different forms. And icons are one of those fascinating things. In themselves, they are an act of prayer, because the person who creates an icon is doing it whilst in a state of prayer. So in a sense, they are a window to a holy world anyway. But they're an image that helps us to engage with God. And one of my favorite, if you like, icons is Rublev's icon of the Trinity, or the meeting of Abraham with the three angels, or the three members of God, whichever way you want to have. I've got one actually in the vestry that I look at before I come out, and I have a larger one that I look every day on. And it's such a wonderful picture of this thing that we know of as the Trinity. If you don't know it, then I urge you to go and Google it and have a look. But to summarize, you have a picture of three persons who, in their facial look all the same, and they're sat round a table enjoying a meal, a communal meal, which is where that imagery from the meeting with Abraham comes from, because he slaughters an animal and offers these three people a meal. And you have God the Father, who is dressed in gold, depending on which version you see. There is God the Son, who, off the top of my head, is dressed in blue. And then you have the Holy Spirit. Now, God the Father and Son are engaged, lovingly looking at one another. And they are very, you can see that they are in a sort of a relationship with one another, whereas the Spirit is sort of looking away. And seemingly the Spirit looks to be pointing away as well. Now on the table, there is a square or a rectangle shape that is drawn on the table. And in the original icon, historians have done some work, and they've looked at this square, and they found that on it was some ancient glue. And what they think was that on the original, which was huge, there would have been a mirror on that rectangle. There would have been a mirror on that square. And the idea was that when you came to reflect on this icon, you would see yourself, obviously, in the mirror. But that would draw you into that scene. You would see yourself sat at the table in conversation with the three members of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is always a wonderful, even though most of the depictions that we have don't have, although I have seen some examples of the icon that have a sort of mirror there. But it's a wonderful way to reflect actually on that engagement that we have with God. It's a fairly simple scene, as indeed we will meet very shortly, a meal. You're gathered around a table with effectively four people engaging in a meal. But you're in communion, you're in a relationship with them. And so God is drawing you in to join with them. He's not separate. He's a seen and known God. And the other powerful thing about that is that the three are together in this kind of unity, this loving unity. And what it calls us to reflect on is that God is held within relationship, that God, in a sense, if you like, the fact that you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is that they are already our God is already in a relationship, a loving relationship between those three elements. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, it's that love that is held between the three that creates. I did the cardinal sin of preachers, where I've actually prepared the wrong Old Testament reading. It's not your fault, so it's mine, because I didn't check. Because the other one is a very long Genesis reading, which is a personal favorite. Genesis 1 is the creation story, which is part of my kind of personal theology, if you like, that whole creative act, how God creates. And in a sense, that other very deep question of why God creates. Because what do we offer God? What does creation offer God? Well, nothing, apart from a lot of headaches, really. I mean, can you imagine the amount of paracetamol he has to go through watching what we're doing, not with our own lives, but just with his whole creative thing that he's done. So we offer nothing to God, and yet he still loves us, and he still wants to engage with us. He still wants to share a meal with us. He still wants to create with us. That creative act is ongoing every day. We see it. That outpouring of love that goes around those three members of the God is extended to us. And so that constant question every day is, well, what do we do with that love? This outpouring of love, what do we do with it? Well, there's only one thing we can do. We just pass it on. The amount of love that is poured from the Father into the Son, from the Son into the Holy Spirit, which is poured into us, where we just need to offer it and pour it out to one another. Now, this morning, that probably doesn't help you in explaining the Trinity. I hope you didn't come this morning expecting to go away with a greater understanding of what it means for us to celebrate a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I think it's in that unknowing that actually we can grow our understanding. But the key thing is knowing that it's based around the purity of love, a love that is given and that calls us to give that love in return. Amen.